Well, I had thought that we might this evening go to the message that the text that I had planned to speak on this morning, but I don't think I want to. I think I want to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Sometimes God lays a message on your heart, but it may not be for, at the right time. And this is just the message that I feel like the Lord has led us on this morning. And I want to continue with it tonight. I want to continue the theme of this morning of living with a heavenly mind or a heavenly perspective. We spoke this morning from Philippians chapters 3 and 4, where Paul exhorts, beseeches, encourages the church at Philippi, reminds us that our conversation is in heaven. Our manner of life, our mindset is to be upon heavenly things. And then he focuses us in on how to keep our minds on heavenly things. First of all, he beseeches Euodias and Syntyche, they be of the same mind in the Lord. How that conflict, offense, rifts between God's people keep us from having our minds on heavenly things. He exhorts us to rejoice and to find our source of joy in the Lord. He exhorts us to be moderate. He exhorts us to be anxious about nothing, but to bring everything that would otherwise make us anxious and worried, to bring those things to the Lord with prayer and supplication, always coming with thanksgiving. And then he finally exhorts us to keep our minds, keep our thoughts upon things that will be full of virtue, things that will be full of praise to the Lord. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Tonight, I want us to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and 5, because these chapters are Paul's personal testimony of how he was able to keep a heavenly mindset. There were many things that could have prevented Paul from keeping his mind focusing on what was really important. There were many opportunities for Paul to turn back. There are many times when the pressure must have gotten so great in Paul's experience that he must have contemplated just throwing his hands up and throwing in the towel and just giving up the fight, the good fight of faith. Paul experienced many, many disappointments, many physical afflictions, much persecution, many times of trial by his own brothers in Christ, as he talks about in Philippians 1, that some people took advantage of his imprisonment to speak ill of him. Some were preaching Christ for the wrong reasons. Paul had many occasions to turn back. But Paul kept a heavenly mindset. He kept his mind on heavenly things. He kept his mind on things that are full of virtue and things that are full of praise. Let's read how Paul was able to do this. We'll begin reading with some of his troubles in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, don't understand, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Paul knew what he described that he desired in Philippians chapter 3, where he says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Paul experienced that. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. What I so much appreciate about the Apostle Paul's message, about his testimony, is that he did not sugarcoat reality. He was very real. He didn't have a false sense of confidence, a false sense of ability to weather any storm. He says, we're distressed. We're perplexed. That means we don't understand. I don't understand all the things that I have suffered. We're cast down. We're down. You can be down without worrying. He was down. He was perplexed. He was distressed. He was troubled. He was persecuted. But he said, even in the midst of all these things that are very real and very raw that I'm experiencing, yes, we are troubled, but we're not distressed. We are perplexed, but we're not in despair. We are persecuted. But even in our persecution, when man would rise up against us, we know that we are not forsaken. Though all may forsake us, Demas and all the ones that forsook him, yet God did not forsake him. We are cast down, but we're not destroyed. Now let's go on down to verse 13 and let's see how Paul kept this heavenly mindset, this heavenly perspective. He says, we having the same spirit of faith. Paul says the first thing that kept Paul from becoming distressed, from becoming in despair, from feeling forsaken, and from being completely destroyed is, he says, we have the same spirit of faith. That is, we believe, even when we cannot see. In fact, he says in the very next thing, listen to what he says. According as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. What was it that caused Paul to say, I am troubled, but not distressed. I am persecuted, but not forsaken. I am cast down, but I'm not destroyed. What gave Paul the ability, the mindset, the strength to utter those words? It was the fact that he believed, and because he believed, therefore he speaks. That what he speaks, that what he says, comes as a result of what he believes. Not of what he can see, but of what he believes. He says, what I can see makes me perplexed. What I can see troubles me. But what I believe causes me to say, I'm not destroyed. I am not forsaken. You see, it's a wonderful thing to know Jesus Christ. Listen to how Paul got this faith. How did Paul get this faith? To be able to utter these words that he could not see, but that he believed. Verse 6 of the same chapter tells us, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The author of the faith that calls Paul to say, we're perplexed, but we're not distressed. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are cast down, but we are not destroyed. The author of that faith was God Himself. For God, who commanded the light, the same God who caused light to shine out of darkness in day one of creation, has shined in our hearts with the same power, with the same life transforming, there was nothing, there was something. There was a transformation of the creation of God when light shined forth upon it, was there not? And there's a transformation in the heart of a child of God when God commands light to shine out of darkness, giving us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. These things about don't worry, be anxious for nothing, and rejoice in the Lord always, they are simply words of fluff with no substance unless God has shown us the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And because Paul says, God, by His own sovereign love, by His own sovereign purpose, for His own reasons, God, when I was riding on the road to Damascus to persecute the people of God, God shined in my heart. In fact, He shined literally in my eyes to give me the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, a light that I had no knowledge of previously, but then I had the knowledge of the glory of God, and it was found in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul says, we have the same spirit of faith, It is this same spirit of faith that Paul had that we also are in possession of if God, by His love and His sovereign will, has shined in our hearts to give us the knowledge of the glory of God. Brothers and sisters, tonight, if you have the knowledge of the glory of God, if you see the glory of God, if you love God, if you love His Son Jesus Christ, if you can say He loved me personally and gave Himself for me, then you have the same spirit of faith that Paul had, which can enable you as well with Paul, to hold hands with Paul and hold up your hand and say, we are forsaken. We are persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We are perplexed, but we're not distressed. We are cast down, but we're not destroyed. Paul kept his heavenly perspective because God had given him faith. And because God had given him faith, he relied upon God and he believed. Therefore, he speaks. Verse 14, this is the faith that God has given him, the faith that God has given us, knowing by faith that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. Paul says, I speak because I have faith. And the faith that God has given me tells me that just as Jesus Christ was raised from the grave, just as His body was not allowed to see corruption, and He was raised from the grave, and He lives and He reigns today, just that certain, my body also shall one day be raised incorruptible. And because my body shall be raised incorruptible, then why should I be concerned? Why should I be fearful? Why should I be anxious about what may happen to my body here upon this earth? Then he says this. So he has said so far, he said, we're not distressed, we're not forsaken, we're not destroyed. We have been given faith, and we know that he's going to raise us up at the last day. But then he says this, for all things, for all these things that Paul has experienced, he's experienced persecution, he's experienced perplexion, he's experienced being cast down. He's experienced a whole gamut of terrible events in his life. And it is for all things are for your sakes. You see, what Paul realized, what we must also realize to keep our heavenly perspective in the life of, in the midst of life's stormy waters, we must realize that this is bigger than just me. My reality, where I am, is bigger than just me. Listen to what he says. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Aren't those remarkable words? He says, the things that I've experienced have been troubling. I have the marks of my body to prove how troubling they've been. But the things that I have experienced may, by the grace of God, by God shining His grace through me, by God holding on to me and not letting me become destroyed, by God giving me the grace to bear, by God giving me the joy of the Lord, even this of troubled waters, that when God shines His grace through me, you may see it, and you are thankful, and in return, God receives glory. Isn't that wonderful? Brothers and sisters, your pain, your troubles, your distresses, when God shines His grace through you in the midst of those, it has a remarkable effect upon the people of God because they are thankful. They become thankful to God for sustaining you. And become thankful to God for the faith that He has given you. It encourages us. It builds us up. It grounds us. And God receives the glory that He so richly deserves when His grace shines through those who are in trials, who are suffering. That's how we keep our heavenly perspective. It's bigger than me. When others may see me and glorify my God which is in heaven, then I'm going to rejoice, Paul says. And so he says, for which cause? Because others are seeing the abundant grace of God in my life and in return being thankful. So therefore, for which cause we faint not. I don't know why God has impressed these messages upon me this morning. But let me say this day. But let me say this. If you hear nothing else, hear this verse 16. For which cause we faint not. Don't faint. Don't faint in the day of adversity. Don't give up. Don't faint because brothers and sisters in Christ who also struggle in life are receiving the blessing of being able to see the grace of God work in your life and are thankful and God receives glory. So don't give up. Don't give up. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. This verse tells us that there is nothing that can get at the inner man. Diabetes and cancer and all kinds of things can get at the outward man. But there is nothing that can get at the inward man. For God, who is commanded of the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give us the glory of the God in the flesh of Jesus Christ. And that light cannot be quenched. That light cannot be vanquished. That light cannot be taken away. It cannot be snuffed out. Because God is the author and the finisher of that faith. And because it's Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, the life that we have is not our life. It's Christ, the inward man. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. You become a new creature on the inward man if God has shined in your hearts. You are a new creature in the inward man. All the old things are passed away. And Jesus Christ proved by His resurrection from the grave that He is indestructible. And if Jesus Christ is indestructible and He lives within me, then my inward man, not what I want to say, but my inward man cannot be taken away from me. My inward man is renewed day by day. So the cancer may get at us, all things may get at us, but the inward man cannot be taken from us. It cannot be moved. So Paul says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us. This light affliction is temporary, and it's working even for us, it says, on our behalf, a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And so he says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Because we believe by faith that God has given us that this is just for a moment, that this is just temporary, that it is working an exceeding eternal weight of glory. What that is saying is that all the distress and all the affliction and all the trouble and all the trials, you pile them all up on top of one another. It says that the weight of glory that we shall receive at the day of Jesus Christ is far more exceeding and far more eternal than all those other things that are piled on top of one another. Now that is unimaginable. I haven't suffered much in my life. Very, very little. But I have watched people suffer. And I have thought, can they take one more thing? I don't see it. I don't see how they can. How can they take one more thing? They've had enough already in my mind. But this verse tells me, and I believe my faith, this verse tells me that if you pile all those things up together, that the weight of glory is far exceeding and it's eternal. And the things that are so real and so present and so afflicting and so perplexing are temporal. They don't last. So Paul says in chapter 5, for we know, this is a chapter of great confidence. And you've got to remember, the Apostle Paul is not writing this in a study. Most likely, he's writing this from real life. He's not writing this from some academic institution where he never sees the light of day and never sees real people. He's writing this from the experience of tremendous suffering. And he says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Don't you love how Paul describes the two buildings? The building of our bodies on this life. He describes them as being a tabernacle. The tabernacle in the Old Testament was given by God to the children of Israel because they roamed around from place to place. It was not a permanent place. It was a temporary place. It was easily taken up, folded up, carried around to the next stopping place, and they would unfold it, put it down, do the worship until the next time that God said to move. So it was a continually moving thing. It was not a permanent thing. It is our experience right now, this body, this house that we are in right now, is a tabernacle. It's a moving thing. It's a changing thing. It's a temporary thing. But if we lose this house, if this house that we have, this tabernacle is dissolved, if it is dissolved, we have another house. And this house is not made with hands. It's eternal in the heavens. He uses tabernacle and eternal house in the heavens. You see, what he's saying here is this. What he's saying there to the Christian, to the person who is faithful, to the person who is perplexed but not distressed, he is saying, listen, you, though you may not be able to see it, believe this by faith. We believe, therefore we have spoken. You cannot lose. You cannot lose. You cannot lose. Because this house that we enjoy, that God created, is not to be despised. This house that we live in now is not to be despised. We're going to take care of the house that we're in now. We're going to live to the glory of God in the house that we're in now. But if it is dissolved, we have an eternal house in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. You see, our houses will dissolve. They will dissolve. That's just a fact. Our houses will dissolve. They're tabernacles. They're temporary. But if they are dissolved, I don't want to be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. You see, the clothes that we groan for, the clothes that we long for, is to be clothed upon with eternal life that is found in the heavens, in a house that is not made with hands, but a house that has been prepared for us by God Himself. Now He that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Let's go back. Paul says, I'm not distressed because I have faith. And that faith tells me that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall also raise us up. He says, I'm not perplexed, I'm not distressed because these things that I'm experiencing are for your sakes. And you are full of thanksgiving because of the grace that God has given me and God is receiving glory. He says, I'm not destroyed because my inward man has not been touched. And it's being renewed day by day. I'm being more and more conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. He says, I'm not going to be destroyed because this life affliction is for a moment. And that which I will receive is a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. I'm not destroyed because this is temporary. I keep my eyes on things that are eternal. So there's many things we've already read that Paul says, this keeps me going. Because I'm looking for something that's better. But then he says this, we have something right now. Right now. These other things that we long for, but we have something right now. Now He that hath wrought us for the self same thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Ephesians talks about the earnest of our inheritance. The Spirit of God that comes and lives among us and dwells with us and in us and points us to Jesus Christ and gives us hope and gives us comfort and spurs us on to better works and to greater things. The Spirit is here right now as the earnest of what we shall receive in heaven with God forever. We have the earnest, the promise, the down payment of our inheritance. We have the Spirit right now. The witness of the Spirit that witnesses with our spirits that we are the children of God. Therefore, we are always confident, Paul says, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. There's nothing wrong. In fact, there's something wrong if we don't enjoy life, because God has given us life to enjoy. God has given us life to experience loved ones and family and worship and church, and He's given us this creation to take great joy in. We should love life. We should enjoy life. We should never seek to be done with life any faster. That's not right. But always know this. Always know that in life, in some way we are absent from the Lord. We have the earnest of our inheritance. We have seen the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we're still clothed upon with sin. We still have the sin problem. And the sin problem completely will not, or finally will not be taken away until we're absent from the body. Yes, we have had the penalty and the guilt, and the guilt of sin removed from us. The punishment of sin is not going to be ours. We have that taken away already. Even the dominion and the power of sin has been removed from the child of God who has been regenerated. But we have not been freed yet from the presence of sin in our daily lives. And that should grieve us. It should grieve us. It should cause great sorrow and grief that we still have the presence of sin in our lives. Because it was sin, after all, that nailed Jesus Christ to the cross of Calvary. And while we praise God for the cross, and we thank God for the cross, and we keep our eyes near the cross, because it's the cross that saved us from our sins. It's the cross that took away our sin debt. It's the cross that caused our sins to be cast into the lake of remembrance, never to be remembered against us again. But if there had never been sin, there would never have been a need for a cross. And it's our sins, the form of His, that were placed upon our Savior's back when He went to Calvary. The presence of sin should bother us. But we know something. We know that when we are absent from the body, we will be present with the Lord. And when you're in the Lord's presence, God is such a holy God that He cannot stand upon, look upon iniquity. When you're with God, when you're absent from the body, there is no presence of sin. Sin is eradicated. Sin is gone. And not just gone for a minute in a really joyous church meeting, but sin is gone forever. Forever. Completely. Sin in the body, sin in the mind, and even the effect of sin, sickness and rifts and offenses and all those bad things that come into life. Sin and the effects of sin, death. All these things are gone, removed, completely, forever and forever and forever. You see, child of God, we cannot lose if we're one of His. We should long to live life. As long as God will give us life, we may live it to the glory of God. But if our life is dissolved, we are absent from the body, but we're present with the Lord. Well, that's just the message I wanted to share tonight, and I pray that God will bless it to your souls and to your spirits, that you may, with Paul, have a heavenly perspective wherever that God may lead us in this life.